Drinking as little as one can of diet soda a day may increase the risk of non-alcohol fatty liver disease by 60%, while drinking a sugary beverage could raise that risk by 50%. This is according to a new unpublished study, and it was just released in CNN Health this week. Now, it's interesting because we were just talking about fatty liver disease with Dr. Brown, our infectious disease expert on the show a few weeks ago, after Dan Marino, an all-star quarterback, former quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, revealed he's been living with fatty liver disease. And his diet is great. He doesn't drink alcohol. And we were talking about some of the ways that you could still have this happen. So wellness coach Amy Linus is here. And again, this is from an unpublished study, but brand new, just released in CNN this week, Amy. Are you shocked that diet soda or sugary beverages could bring your risk up more than 50% in both instances?
So I'm not shocked at all. Not at all. I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised that this study wasn't released sooner or several years ago. A good friend and dietitian friend of mine has always preached about the dangers of high fructose corn syrup, which is found in those sugary drinks. So the main reason that it's so bad is, unlike glucose, which can be metabolized by every cell in your body pretty quickly, fructose is almost entirely metabolized by the liver, unfortunately. So that liver gets overloaded, yes, with all that sugar, and it's flooding your liver with that substance, and it has to deal with it right there on the spot. So it's your filtration system, and you're just like overloading that filtration system. So just imagine like a filter in a fish tank and like dumping a bunch of dirt on it at one time. It's going to get clogged. It's going to get murky. It's going to get muddy. It's going to get stopped up pretty good, and even maybe malfunction, which, like you were saying, could lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
I think the more interesting part of this, not taking away from the sugary beverages, because again, that's not, I don't think anything when you hear about sugary beverages is shocking to me. I mean, it has it in the title.
No.
But the diet soda, I mean, Amy, mm-hmm. for some people, diet soda is the alternative when they're at events or when they are out to dinner. Instead of having that glass of wine or instead of having that beer, I'm going to have a Diet Coke, a diet this, a diet whatever. That has become almost the better alternative. But when you hear that this is comparative, it says the damage from a diet soda is similar to what's seen in a heavy drinker. A heavy drinker, and can lead to advanced scarring of your liver from diet soda. I mean, to me, that's a massive deal, especially when we've been told for so many years that this is maybe a better alternative than alcohol. That's shocking to me.
Yeah. I mean, it is a better alternative to alcohol. Alcohol is a little heavier on the liver, truth be told. But again, like I say many, many times, moderation is going to be key. We aren't telling you guys to stay completely away from all that, but don't drink 10 of them a day. I mean, moderation is key. Same thing with alcohol. It's a similar situation. You know, one or two glasses of wine here and there are fine. Just don't overload that liver, because it's your body's major filtration system. So when you overload it with heavy things that you know are terrible for your system, it's going to malfunction on you. That's just how we work, how we operate.
You know, it's interesting. And of course, Amy Linus is our wellness coach here on the show. This study that was published by CNN Health this week, it says that non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is what I had hinted about in the beginning of this segment, it is estimated that that has increased by 50% in the U.S. within the past three decades. Today, some 38% of the population has non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Now, I'm curious, Amy, first of all, that's substantial. And I think we can all kind of point the finger at it doesn't need to be alcohol that leads to this. Obviously, there are other things you can be having in your diet or things we're exposed to in our food and our drinks that can lead to this. But do you think a lot of people know they have fatty liver disease?
No, there oftentimes are not really any signs or symptoms. So a lot of people don't even know it. It's when it gets to that second stage of where you're starting to get the cirrhosis and those things that occur that people kind of realize. But in that non-fatty stage, you can actually reverse that. by taking account of what you're ingesting, taking account of nutrition, the drinks that you're drinking, and you can kind of reel that back in. Although in some people, it does happen to be genetic. It's just the way your liver processes extra sugar. So you have to be extra careful if you are predisposed to having it genetically.
So I was reading in this study, and again, it followed nearly 124,000 people without liver disease participating in the UK. This was a large biomedical research study that was done, and it says that they were assessing using 24-hour dietary questionnaires at various points throughout a 10-year study. So this, again, it's unpublished at this point, but it is something that is very significant, and they did that their research. It found that those who substituted water reduced their risk by nearly 13%. So, you know, that, of course, leads to the question, Amy, what do you do if you do rely on a diet soda a day or a sugary drink per day? What should you do? Especially because water for some may not be just an easy swap out.
Yeah. I know for most people who like the sodas and things, it's mostly the carbonation. So I would tell you to keep at least one of those drinks in, because I know most people can't just completely give them up, and then switch to something else that's carbonated, like seltzer water, flavored seltzer water. Or you can even infuse your water with fruit like oranges or lemons and limes and cucumbers and things like that.
And the other thing, too, Amy, with this, I don't believe they would be considered sugary drinks, but there has been a real increase, you know, getting off of coffee sometimes, people who use energy drinks, not so much Monster or some of those bigger brands, a Red Bull, if you will, but the Alani's, that's become incredibly popular. I believe they're sugar free. Obviously, Celsius, you know, some of these pre-workout, but also energy type drinks have become more popular in today's society. Do you fear that those also could be a problem, or because they're sugar free, not so much? I worry they're more like the diet sodas. I don't know.
Yeah, those are up next because there are a lot of extra additives in them. So those will be up next. I'm sure we're going to see a study done on those here in the meantime, because people are just drinking too many of them. Again, moderation is key. It just goes back to moderation. It's almost we become reliant on that caffeine and that boost and that pick-me-up, when in reality, what we need to do is rely on more sleep, more rest, and taking better care of ourselves at the base of the problem, not masking it with things like energy drinks and coffee. So, I mean, we're all guilty of it. I am, for sure. We all live in the North where it's fast-paced, so life does get ahead of you sometimes. But we do need to take a minute to dial things back and to make sure that moderation is key.
So, Amy, if people have more questions about this and maybe have specific scenarios they want to ask you, you know, how can I swap these things out, or I'm fearful of having this issue, especially with liver, what is the best way to reach you?
Of course, you guys can find me online. My name is spelled AmyLlinas. That's Amy Linus. I am on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and you guys can find me via my website as well that way.
Amy Linus, always appreciate you. Thank you so much for talking about this, and we will talk again next week.
Yes, thank you, Melissa. I look forward to it.